You know who you remind me of off the top, I'll say, in the movie?
Who?
Jake Gyllenhaal and Donnie Darko.
Oh, hell yeah.
Really? Thanks. Did anyone else say that?
A couple people have said that. Yeah.
Really?
One of my favorite movies growing up.
I know, me too. And you know what was the moment that like really sealed it?
Which one?
At the final moment of You in the Window.
Oh, yeah.
That is so Donnie Darko.
That's very Donnie Darko.
Right?
Yeah.
That's so funny.
I feel that.
Anyways, thank you so much for coming on. So, James, you have a new movie out.
I do. I Love My Dad.
And it's very funny. I watched it the other night. I watched it with my mom, my husband, and my baby.
Oh, gosh.
Her first movie. She watched
half
of it.
That was her first movie ever. What did she think?
You're not... She was, like, really engaged. It was weird because, like...
I made it for babies.
You're not supposed to like show screens to babies until they're two. So I felt really guilty.
This movie's different though. This movie was curated specifically for babies. We had baby test audiences.
And it did really well.
Yeah, they loved it.
With the Gerber crowd.
Screaming. And they were very reactive.
No, she was like completely still, just like chilling in my mom's arms watching it. And we were like, whoa, this is crazy. And
I hope it didn't like ruin your baby's life.
No, it was fine. And then we're like, she should go to sleep. And then my mom's like, cover her eyes at like kissing scenes. And she's like, this isn't G. And it was funny. You should know it was her first movie. Yeah,
okay. Wow.
But before we get into the movie, I want to hear about the process that you went into with writing it and then with getting it made and everything. I mean, I know that's like a broad question, but let's just start with like the idea.
Yeah. So I was walking around. I was reflecting on this today. I was in New York for my grandfather's funeral in 2019, and my dad came to it. And we were walking around New York, and I was like kind of on the hunt for my next film idea. And he reminded me of this time where I had cut him out of my life. He was really worried about me. This was a long time ago. And then I got home one day and this really pretty girl had sent me a friend request online, and I was very excited, and it turned out to be my dad. And I had not thought about this in a long time.
So did you block it out? Like, it's interesting he reminded you, because I feel like I would never forget that happening.
It was something I never talked to anybody about after it happened, and kind of tried to forget about it. Like, it was like almost one of those things where you're like, all right, I am moving on. This did. And then, he reminded me of it. And
how old were you when that happened?
I'm not exactly sure. He and I disagree about the age it happened, but somewhere in my late teens.
Okay.
I was attracted to this idea of someone doing something wrong for the right reasons, like somebody who cares about his son so much that he's willing to catfish him.
Mm-hmm.
Struck me as funny and also really heartbreaking. And I started writing the movie as I was walking with him through the city. I remember like just being on my notes on my phone and just typing things out. And then
isn't that the best feeling?
Oh man, it's the best. It so rarely happens where like you're struck by the whole movie all at once.
How much did you get down in those couple of days?
Structurally, a lot of the first draft, and then it changed a lot as I went. As I move forward, but I knew I was like, this has to be this. And it almost felt like I was daring myself. Like,
ooh,
like, yeah. Yeah. It's kind of kinky.
But I felt like, okay. So were you with your dad during those days when you were writing out just in that initial day? Cause I imagine it was like
day.
Very cathartic.
Yeah.
If it had been packed away.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just that initial day, and then I got home. I got back to my hotel, and I was, like, feverishly trying. Because when you're that excited about an idea, that excitement doesn't always last.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're trying to just get as much of it out of you in that initial impression as you possibly can. Because if you sit on it, it kind of I don't know, it gets kind of stale.
Totally.
In your
head. It's the best high and it drives you.
Yeah.
It's like being on a wave that you're like surfing and you feel that like force pushing you and you're just like.
Yeah, yeah. Because you're like the more you get down, then you'll find like more, you know, you'll find out more of the story as you go. But like that initial momentum is really important.
I think also something to that is it's personal.
Yeah.
So it's like you can really draw from yourself. So it's a lot easier to start getting ideas, I think, down because I don't know about you, but like you're not necessarily like sitting around like, okay, then what could happen? It's like when you're just stealing from your own experience, it comes out a lot easier.
That, and it's also a premise that's pretty ripe with irony for certain. So it's a matter of like, okay, you know, what situations would also occur from this setup, and then like those would just kind of spill out. And then it was a matter of just writing a really bad kind of manic first draft, which I was looking that over today actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was just looking
That's
at
nice.
It. And it's so different than what it ultimately turned out being because I'm writing my next movie now, and it's, you know, after you finish a movie, you're like, how am I going to do another? How do I do another one? And kind of you do it like piece by piece, slowly, and it's bad for a long time until it gets better. And so looking at that first draft was helpful for me because I was like, oh my God, this is so sloppy and all over the place. And I would never share that with anyone. But it has like an energy to it. And
yeah.
So, yeah, so I, you know, I wrote that first draft, and then I kept getting, I just kept revising, revising. Eventually, we won some like screenwriting contests and stuff, and then I attached Patton and built the cast around him, and then we made it.
So, before this, had you written any other features before? I remember the play that you wrote.
Oh yeah,
with
yeah,
the
yeah.
aliens.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
In the catering.
Yeah, 6:35. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
What? How long ago was that?
Oh man, that was probably six years ago, 5 or 6 years.
Remember when I came over?
Yeah, yeah, I did.
Yeah,
yeah.
And so that, and then I remember, and then you put it up too.
Yeah, I put the play up, and then I shot it as a short.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess I want to also hear about like before this feature came, like what your experience was like with writing and what you had been working on leading up to it.
Yeah. I've like written and made stuff my whole life, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And then I went to USC for theater.
Ooh.
And film as well. And then, yeah, I mean, I started working kind of right away as an actor, but then I was always kind of like felt like I wanted to be making my own stuff. So it started with like a web series about it was called Single Minded. And it was like a catalog of every awkward experience I've ever had. And I would like take the awkward experience and like take it to the furthest extent it possibly could be taken. And then I made my first micro budget feature, Three Something.
Remember that.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember seeing
the teaser.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. So that
it's like you in bed with two other people, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Oh my God. That's so funny.
So yeah. And then I became really obsessed with screenwriting and wrote, I just started like writing script after script after script and like got really interested in like, why do I even like movies? Like what about them is exciting to me? And like trying to hone in on that as much as I could in my own work. And then I Love My Dad was written.
Something that I love about your movie and what my mom noticed too, is that it's very much like one of those cool movies from the 90s vibe. Like, you know, comparing like Donnie Darko, like one of those like cool kind of like indie vibes that like you don't as much see today. Like obviously it's like a very original idea that you haven't seen done before, but like, so were you influenced by those types of like cool you know what I'm talking about?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I feel like I was influenced by like every movie that I love. And you know,
like what kind of movies would you say inspired you to want to be a filmmaker?
Oh, man. I mean, I have like some pretty boring answers, like Tarantino, Paul Thomas Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the people that I think of now are like Ruben Östlund, or there's an Iranian filmmaker, Oscar Farhadi, who makes these like these movies start out just so grounded, and then there's like one misunderstanding that occurs, and then that misunderstanding compounds. And because it started out in such a grounded way, like the stakes feel very high.
Mm-hmm.
It's all like social tension.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like, did you see Shiva Baby?
Yeah, yeah.
Like a little like that?
Yeah, exactly like that. Yeah, and then, I don't know. I mean, I love the work of like Nathan Fielder.
Yes. Are you watching The Rehearsal?
It's amazing.
Oh my God.
It's brilliant. I love it.
I was dying.
Yeah, it's really good.
So good.
And then I'm like, I feel like I'm constantly watching Nathan For You.
Yeah, he's great. I saw him at Air One recently.
Oh, wow.
Nice guy. Yeah. Very nice to the employees there.
That's good.
I know. So I was like, oh, I like him.
Yeah.
Likeable guy. That's amazing. What was the, what's your writing process like?
It's different every time. I mean, it always has to start for me with like a really strong concept.
Mm-hmm.
I've made the mistake in other scripts where I start out with a concept that's kind of like meh.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just the rest of the process sucks.
Do you outline?
I usually do. It starts with like a lot of journaling and free writing,
mm-hmm.
Where I'm like trying to understand, I'm trying to like just figure out what excites me about the thing, and like what the emotional mm-hmm. engine of the movie is. And then once I feel like I figured that out, it's like seeing, like crafting the arc of that emotional engine, just thinking about it a lot,
mm-hmm.
going on a lot of walks and talking about it with people. And then it usually comes down to, then I outline it, and then I'll research stuff that I need to kind of fill out the story. And then I'll usually do another outline,
mm-hmm.
and then I'll beat out the story. And then I'll do like a really fast draft,
mm-hmm.
and then I'll
like the vomit draft.
Yeah, exactly.
How many drafts would you say you did
probably
from the first to the shooting?
Probably like 3 or 4 page one rewrites, where I would start
like what?
Where I would start fresh.
Oh, okay.
Where like I wasn't just editing scenes.
Mm-hmm.
I did a few rewrites, mm-hmm, where I would mm-hmm. like go like, okay, I have this, and I would take what I had, I would outline it, and then I would like write a fresh draft based on a new outline.
Mm-hmm.
I did that probably 3 times. And then it was just a matter of like tinkering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then what was the process like of attaching Patton? Was that someone who you always had in mind?
Yeah, I mean, I've loved Patton for a long time. I mean, he's somebody who's like, he's obviously so funny, but he's got tremendous heart, and
mm-hmm.
I knew that quality was going to be important for this character.
Mm-hmm. I love him as an actor.
He's so funny.
Yeah, ever since United States of Terror.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know why, but that's like always the first time I remember seeing him. Like, that's where I think of him from.
Yeah, the first
randomly.
Time I remember seeing him was Big Fan from 2009, where he plays this, like, obsessed fan, and it's a dark movie, but he brings a lot of heart to
it,
so the movie really works. And yeah, I remember seeing that and just like loving him on mm-hmm. screen. I mean, he read the script, and then we just had like a lot of conversations about it to make mm-hmm. sure we're interested in making the same movie.
Mm-hmm. Did you give anything along with the script? Like a letter or like any sort of
additional
thing?
No, I don't think I did. I knew his manager,
mm-hmm.
and the manager loved the script, and
yeah.
so we got into conversation pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. The writing letters and stuff to people is, I've tried to do that in the past
mm-hmm.
with other things.
I've never done it, but I've always wondered.
It kind of is like, I'm not
about like how it's received. If that's like an old thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, when someone, for me, it comes down to like the person and the material
mm-hmm.
and like where I'm at in my life. Unless somebody writes something that really strikes me,
mm-hmm.
it sometimes makes me less inclined to do it. Because I'm
too thirsty.
Yeah, it feels that way. It's because it's like it doesn't it doesn't matter how I'm just like, what is the material? What are we making?
Right.
You know what I mean? And
yeah.
I'm excited
like,
about
it. Like, great, I'm glad that you're interested, but, like, is it a good script?
Yeah.
Like, you think the material will speak for itself?
Yeah. And yeah, like, yeah. It, or I want to, like, yeah, or I want to talk with the person.
Mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm.
Are you willing to change this?
Yeah.
Or, like, what were you thinking mm-hmm. about when you wrote this part? Or how are you intending on executing mm-hmm. this? And so, I like, for me, I wanted to get to that place with Patton as quickly mm-hmm. as possible, where I was like able to articulate how I saw the whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
I had already storyboarded most of it, so I was able to kind of walk him through section by section.
That's cool.
Like how I envisioned the film, and mm-hmm. play him music that I was intending on using, and then he and I are also both huge cinephiles, mm-hmm. And so that's how we kind of developed the common language, is just by talking a lot about the movies we love, and
mm-hmm.
and we're able to kind of get on the same page that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did being an actor help you with writing at all? Like, in the way, did it like change the way that you wrote?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I feel like, as you know, like most scripts you read, they don't sound like people.
Right.
And so I think my writing started from a place of just like wanting to make it feel real.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I think in that way, it's funny. I've kind of always written, and my acting and my writing started kind of, I think I probably started writing before I started acting.
Mm-hmm.
And so in a way I feel like it maybe even works more in the other direction, where my writing influences my acting.
And you've done a lot of cool stuff too.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. Like, what was it like working on American Horror Story?
Oh, it was really fun.
Yeah.
That was my first bigger job. And so to be on like a studio set, mm-hmm. Was really exciting. I
mean, was Ryan Murphy directing it or no?
No. No, he wasn't directing it, but he was around, and he's a, mm-hmm. a really nice guy.
Yeah,
you know, really knows what he wants. And
oh my god, I'm blanking on the guy's name who you're in the scene with. I love him.
I was in a few of them, which
the guy who's like the cult leader type,
Evan Peters.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
I can't believe I forgot his name.
He's
I love
great.
Him.
Yeah,
he's amazing.
So intense.
Yeah.
So good. Yeah.
Was he cool to work with?
Oh man, he's like such a down to earth.
Really? Yeah.
Very kind of. He's very nonchalant mm-hmm. in person. Kind of just like when we're not shooting, he's generally like just kind of hanging out, listening to music, and he's just he's a really sweet guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want to work with him.
Cool.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just got sidetracked thinking about that.
No.
So you got Patton attached.
Yeah.
And then what was the next process like? Was he where do you go from there?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Like talking through ideas for the other characters.
Mm-hmm. Like in terms of casting?
Yeah, exactly.
I love the cast.
Oh,
so many great actors. Yeah.
Yeah, it was
the girl is so hot. Sorry, I forgot her name.
Claudia Saluski.
She is, oh my god.
She's amazing. Yeah, she's a really strong actor.
Yes, she's so fun and like alive, and I loved her energy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's really really special, and I mean she came up as an influencer, as like a social media
really?
Personality. Yeah, and so she
oh.
she has tremendous amounts of experience just in front of a camera.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it, she has this natural ease to her. Like she doesn't get nervous in front of a camera.
Mm.
And so she has a certain confidence to her that mm-hmm. I think was really useful for this part.
I love how you chose to show her, like instead of doing a movie about just like texting.
Yeah.
Like that was such an interesting idea because I feel
thanks.
Like, yeah, I haven't seen that before. And I feel like that is probably like one of the hardest parts about how you're going to make that work.
Yeah. I mean, when I
how'd
was like,
you come up with that?
Yeah. When I was like, I want to make this movie, I was like, I don't want to be having people look at screens for an hour and a half.
Totally. Yeah. I love that you didn't show that really at all. I mean, a little bit to show that, like to ground the moment.
Right.
But it never felt like too, it felt very grounded, the whole thing. Like it never felt like, like trying to do a thing, too fucking weird, like magical real, like it, right. It really worked.
Thank you. Yeah. I wanted it to feel like, I thought a lot about what does it feel like mm-hmm. when I'm messaging or texting someone.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to just think about that feeling. And it really feels like you're projecting the essence of that person that you're interacting with.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a, you have a strong feeling for that other person, even though they're just sending like words to you.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that feeling is dependent upon the timing at which you guys are talking, and all of your feelings associated with that person are hinging on that timing.
Mm.
But it feels like they're kind of right there with you in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to do that, and I wanted to just have the people in the room, and that created this whole other layer of irony in the film where he's falling in love with this beautiful person that we have to keep reminding ourselves is actually his dad. which was fun, and mm-hmm. and also, you know, it allowed me to I wanted the audience to feel like they were getting behind the person doing the catfishing
mm-hmm.
and really understanding why he had created this profile and is why he's doing this
mm-hmm.
so that they're rooting for him. But then I also wanted to get an audience behind the idea of the person being catfished and rooting for that relationship too.
Yeah.
I don't know. My favorite movies are the ones where there's not a good guy and a bad guy. There are mm-hmm. two people that you really want to win, but mm-hmm. they can't both.
And everyone has both elements too.
Yeah.
I think of good and bad.
Yeah.
Like it exists together.
Totally.
I love also the way that you shot her in those mm-hmm. scenes. Like it was always like she was like, and I know that part of it was like the angle of the conversation, mm-hmm. but like she'd be like standing above you, like walking on the table, or like it was just interesting, or like popping out of the freezer. Like, yeah, it was cool, and it still felt like very different, but it really worked.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
I wanted it to feel dynamic, and
I love the dancing on the street. Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, I didn't want her to just be showing up, like, mm-hmm. sitting. I didn't want them to just have a bunch of like very ordinary mm-hmm. interactions.
Yeah, like the energy just like made it so exciting, and just kept like it felt like it was the flow of like a fast conversation of someone falling in love, you know?
And he's severely depressed. Mm-hmm. So having this light come into his life, that's what it feels like. It feels like someone's popping out of the freezer.
Yeah.
Standing, you know, she's adding this dynamism to his life
mm-hmm.
and is kind of getting him out of that depressed place.
Yeah. Were you a part of the casting process?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're the director.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess it meant like, so you hire the casting director. How involved were you? Like,
oh, very.
Was it?
Yeah, I mean,
just towards the end of like the favorites, or like?
No, I was from the beginning. I chose exactly who I wanted to play the parts, and
then, oh, okay.
And then it was a matter of like looking at other options.
Yeah,
you're really building like. The tonal palette of the movie when you're casting.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, you can't have too many... I wanted to stay away from it being all comedians. I wanted to stay away from it being all dramatic actors. I knew that I wanted Rachel Dratch and Lil Rel Howery to be kind of the... not even the comic relief, per se, but people that were funny that could call Chuck out in mm-hmm. the way that we would want to call mm-hmm. him out if we were his friend.
Yeah.
But... being able to do so in a way that kept it on the lighter side and could really say what we'd want to say.
Right.
Like calling him out directly.
You know, it's so funny. The scene of her standing, Rachel Dratch, the scene of her standing around at the party before she starts texting on her phone, she's just standing there.
Yeah.
I burst out laughing and I was like, she's so fucking talented. Yeah. Like she can just stand there and not do anything and be so funny. Like, how was it directing so many amazing comedic actors?
I mean, it was really fun. They always brought a lot to the table. I would always be surprised by their takes on certain moments. That's one of my favorite scenes, too. Part of it was...
And where it goes is just...
Yeah, yeah.
Without ruining it.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny. A lot of the one of the hardest parts of this movie was crafting the digital landscape of the film, because
you have to tell me what that means.
you're building all these profiles from scratch.
Okay,
like we're not using any social media platform that exists, so we had to like design our own social media.
Oh platform. Yeah.
And then you're
like a fake Facebook,
essentially, and we take for granted how much information is actually being presented when we're looking at a screen. But there is so much. There's the time, there's the date, there's all the other people, and all of that had to feel real.
Mm-hmm.
So you're having to build out this whole universe that I didn't consider.
Yeah, like who does that?
Yeah, so you're like, all right. And you're also seeing their screen intermittently throughout the movie, and so you had to be aware of like what else they're talking about off screen and the kind of continuity of these conversations throughout the whole movie.
Yeah, a lot to think about.
And also like in movies you are generally not beholden to specific times or dates.
It can be
a little bit in flow, but here it needed to be like
right.
very specific.
Yeah.
You're seeing the time.
Yeah. This is so random, but when I was watching the credits, I saw there was a lot of lifeguards, and I understand they're needed for the pool scene. Did that take a long time to shoot? Because I was like, why were there 6 lifeguards? I know that's like
there
the randomest thing.
An excessive amount.
But I caught that, and I was like, oh, that must have taken like days to shoot?
No, it was one day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But is it like a time that they can be there?
I don't know. I don't know why there were so many lifeguards.
Has anyone asked you that yet?
No, that's a great question.
So was it hard for you to be acting, writing, and directing? I've tried that once just for like a short. It was literally a 5-minute short, and I just couldn't do it. I cut my scenes out.
What happened?
Well, I realized I'd much rather be behind the camera. It was just too much. Like, I don't consider myself to be an actor. Like, I've done my friend's shorts, but like, it was way too overwhelming for me. Like, I just like cannot do it. It was hard for me to like switch off that part of my brain and like go from like your directing brain to like the writing, you know, just switching back and forth, like for you to carry that on so perfectly throughout the entire movie. Like, what was that process like? What did you need for yourself? Mm-hmm. Like, how did it work? Like, what did you do in terms of like playback, and like how much time did you take for yourself, and like what did you ask for?
Yeah, I mean, I've made like a lot of the stuff I've made since I was a little kid. I've kind of been doing this where I'll write something that I really want to make, and then I'll make it, and then I'll also be playing one of the parts. And I've done it throughout my life just because a lot of times I just had to, where I couldn't find someone else or whatever. So I've just gotten, I don't know, it's become like a weird integrated part of how I make things. But process wise, I mean, this was a much bigger film than I had made. So it was like, again, like storyboarding the entire movie ahead of time. So I knew exactly what I needed.
Mm-hmm.
Rehearsing extensively with my whole cast ahead of time.
Oh, great. How long did you get to do that for?
Like a week. They came out to Syracuse like a week early.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And then we'd meet up and just go through the scenes and exhaustively explore. And then also just like working with, I hired an acting coach for myself so that I could be working with him and like just getting another.
Was that with Tyler?
No.
Okay. Cause I saw his name too. And he was my teacher at Leslie Kahn.
Oh, cool. No, Tyler's.
Cause I just saw the names I noticed, you know.
Tyler helped me a lot. Like he and I would talk through the script a lot.
Yeah.
The time. And yeah, he was.
Mm-hmm. But just like being as prepared as possible. Like how much time following like when you would it be like you sold it and you were ready to go in pre-production to when you were shooting, like how much time did you have to prepare?
We hadn't sold it. We had gotten it. I had gotten the financing.
Okay.
And then we sold.
I have
it.
No idea what I'm talking about.
but we sold it to Magnolia at
Sci-Fi. Oh, got it. Oh, okay.
After it won there, then we partnered with them. So from the moment we got all of the money to make the movie,
and is that
probably
like
a month? It's probably like a month.
Oh wow!
A month of pre-production, a month and a half,
and you're like, oh, it's on.
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah,
and it doesn't feel real until you're like in the production offices and you're like,
were you nervous? I mean, I know you've already worked on like a bunch of big things before, so, but because it was your own, like, did it feel?
I think there were moments where I felt nervous.
Yeah.
The whole thing felt pretty surreal, honestly. Mm-hmm. So I was just kind of like putting one foot in front of the other. And I was so, I had so much to do that that kept me from being nervous, really.
Mm-hmm.
Like I had to, I was like, I like avoided nervousness by being like over preparing.
Yeah.
And I want, like, my intent was to be able to see the whole movie before I made it.
Mm. I think that's so smart. Because for me personally, like, being prepared, I'm going to feel so much more confident and secure going into anything. And just, like, the way my brain works, like, I think you can, like, take a breath and go into something so much more differently than being, like, frazzled. And so yeah, that's amazing that you did that.
You want to have confidence that you know what you're talking about so that you're able to be helpful to other people, mm-hmm. that you can answer your department head's questions, you know? So I would like take, I would spend a day where I would just think about costumes. I would just think about the cinematography, or I would just think about the production design. And then I would like create these extensive note documents for each of those department heads so that when I hired somebody, they had a lot to go off of.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just trying to, because I was directing and acting, I wanted to get as much out of my own head as I possibly could,
mm-hmm.
So that I could really focus on the moment to moment of actually making it.
Yeah. So then when you're, so then what about when you were acting the scene and directing? Like, what was that like?
Yeah. I mean, I would have, we'd do our rehearsal. Then I'd have our stand-ins come in,
mm-hmm.
and then I would set up my shots with my cinematographer, and then we'd do it, and then we'd step in, we'd do a take. I would look at it just briefly, just to make sure I liked the framing.
Mm-hmm.
I would adjust, and then I would look at it again just to make sure that it was good.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would just do it, and then once I feel like we got it, I would watch the final take. Usually,
mm-hmm. would you be directing from like in the scene or?
It really depended. I would often, I tried to not direct as much as I possibly could unless I could tell that it was really necessary.
Mm-hmm.
But I would often be aware, especially if I wasn't on camera. We weren't shooting with two cameras. We were just shooting with one. So a lot of times it would just be the other person's coverage. And then I would be like paying attention. I'd be trying to stay with them, but I'd also be paying attention to like, all right, I'd be editing the scene oftentimes.
Right. Like, yeah.
All right. I think we have that chunk. I think we have that chunk.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get that again. I want to try this or that.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of that coverage, I'd often we'd workshop the material more.
Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the day, were you watching like the daily? Is it?
It's a weird thing to watch. I find it
because I feel like you're doing so much. Like, what do you have time for?
No. At the end of the day, you're
tired.
You're dead.
Yeah.
Like you're. You get back, you get in your car at the end of the day and you're like, oh my God, you're just drained.
Yeah.
And so I would often have a quick turnaround where I'd have to get up early in the morning. And like, so I'd be like getting in the car and be thinking, I'd already be thinking through the next day.
Like, was it hard to go to sleep at night?
Yeah, it was.
Right?
Yeah.
Because your brain is probably just nonstop going.
Yeah. I mean, I'd have like horrible nightmares.
Aw.
No, I mean, I was like,
yeah.
It was definitely.
Like your alarm goes off and you're like,
You're like, okay.
Pounding coffee.
I would go take a cold shower and then I would get in the car and go. But it was like on the way home, I'd be like calling someone from the production, figuring out.
Mm-hmm.
Like problem solving sometimes like a week in advance, you know, you're essentially like creating the runway a lot of times as you're going down it. I was always trying to think steps ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I love making movies this way. It's also like, it feels like it takes years off of your life.
How long was it? The shooting
like
process?
5 or 6 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, how did it feel the first time you saw it finished?
I mean, horrible. The first time you watch
a
cut, you're like, this doesn't work. I mean,
really?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of, you're like, there are sections in here that work. I mean, the first time I've seen any cut of anything I've done, I'm like, it's usually you're disappointed.
Mm.
But that disappointment is pretty instrumental. And I've gotten better at being clear around what that disappointment means, because it's basically indicating to you the margin between where you are and where you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
So when I first started, I would just be like, oh, man, this doesn't work. But now I'm like, all right, I'm feeling this way because the pace is off. And then it's like you're getting into problem solving mm-hmm. mode. Like the whole time you're essentially trying to reframe your emotional experience into tangible action steps you can take.
Good. So you're like getting right into solution.
Yeah, you're not. I didn't have any moments where I was like, oh, what am I going to do? You're like, people.
You're like, okay, I know what to do here.
Yeah. Or you're like, I need to figure out what to do here.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, maybe we need to reimagine this. And mm-hmm. One of the most fun parts of the process is working with an editor that you love for like 6 weeks or so, because you're in a small room with them for 8 to 10 hours a day, and you're like trying to tell a story together.
Yeah.
So you're like, you're really getting into the weeds with that person, and you're having to be brutally honest with one another about what is working and what's not working, and then like figuring it out with them.
Yeah.
And it's already shot. Like, you already did the thing.
Mm-hmm.
You've collected the puzzle pieces, and it's like you're essentially solving this, you know, million piece puzzle mm-hmm. with this other person. And I don't know. That's by far my favorite part of the process.
Yeah. So then when that was finished and you finally had it ready, was it always a plan to go to South By? Were you like, let's just submit to all festivals? What was the plan?
No, I wanted to premiere at South By. It felt like the right place for it tonally. There's a certain kind of like a reverence to a lot of the work they do that that felt right for the film, and it felt like audiences would get it there.
Yeah.
I definitely didn't expect us to win the Grand Jury and Audience Award.
Yeah, what was that moment like?
It was truly it was shocking. Like I felt like I was actually in shock.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then you have to like go up and make a speech.
And my speech, I'm like, I didn't prepare anything. I don't know. I'd always seen people win awards where they're like, wow, oh my God.
Yeah.
But like I didn't, like the experience of actually having to step up and then like face.
And then you're like, what just happened? What did I say?
Thousands of people and go like, okay, you're like, what am I doing up here?
But I think like
I couldn't.
People love that too.
Yeah, I had very little composure.
Mm-hmm.
I was just kind of like, whoa, there's all these people. Like,
yeah,
you can't even. I don't know. I couldn't wrap my head around it in that moment. It was pretty special. But and my mom was in the audience. She was like screaming like.
Oh.
Talk.
Did you see her?
Talk.
Out of thousands of people?
No, I was
zeroing in on.
I felt like I was, my body was actually in a state of shock. Like,
yeah.
Like where I was like, I like.
Was that?
It wasn't like, oh, I was shocked. I was like, I was actually like.
Like you're like, are my legs moving?
Shut down. Like I was like.
How do you come out of that?
I don't know. For like 20 or 30 minutes afterwards, I was kind of like, what is this? What does this mean?
Yeah.
Because I don't know. I couldn't wrap my head around it. It was just like, there were so many other great films there. And I just felt like, I don't know. I couldn't make sense of it.
And you've been on such an exciting roller coaster since. Like, I feel like that was just like the start of like a million fun things to come.
Yeah.
So how has that whole process been?
I mean, it's been amazing. You know, we've played at some great festivals and, I've gotten to talk about this thing that I love that I was lucky enough to make, and just being able to like share the film with these huge audiences. And man, it's been like one of the most, it's been probably the most fun year of my life, I would say.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. And like, how cool is it to see your movie like in a theater? Like, what was that experience like seeing it on a big screen? I mean, additional to South By, but like being in LA or something or back home and like seeing it in like a fucking movie theater.
Yeah. I mean, it's a movie that I intended to cause visceral reaction to.
Yes.
So to have an entire audience like exploding with those reactions mm-hmm. has been really satisfying.
I know. My mom was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And then she literally, like in so many of all the right moments, I would assume, I'm curious if...
The whole audience is doing that in some of these, which is just exciting to have. I mean, I'm sure you know as a stand-up, like it's when you're having that level of response to something, mm-hmm. it's just fun.
You feel smug.
Yeah, totally. I mean,
you're like,
yeah, it's like you get this kind of mischievous delight.
I had always been like that as a young kid. Like, I was always such a troublemaker, and I just loved the idea of like getting an effect out of someone.
Totally.
And like, that's what I love about like going to the movie theater too. It's such a different experience from being at home and watching something when you're in energy with everyone else, and it's like you're just like, something's just like making you like evoke emotion, and like it's such a powerful, incredible, energetic moment. So like to witness that, I mean, like there has to be nothing better.
So cool. And watching it at a drive-in movie theater was the moment where I was like, whoa, I was able to watch it again for the first time. Because I used to go to the drive-in as a kid. And I mean, I saw like Titanic at the drive-in. A lot of these kind of foundational movies for me, I saw in that context.
Mm-hmm.
So to be... I don't know, watching it with all these people in their cars, it was just really, really special.
Yeah. And then, so I know you traveled around and you went back home too.
Yeah. Yeah. We played it in Boston.
What was that like? Was that, did people come out who you knew?
Yeah. I had my high school drug dealer there. I had my high school health teacher there. My mom was there. All my like high school friends were mm-hmm. there. It was amazing. It was pretty cool.
That's cool.
It was scary. It was weird, though. I had a weird reaction to it where I...
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, because when you're just sharing it with people you don't know very well, you're kind of... The stakes don't feel high.
I don't like doing stand-up in front of people I know.
No, like, it feels like a lot.
So I mean, was that a little more nerve-wracking?
Oh,
that more nerve-wracking than, like, premiering it at Largo?
100%. I mean, I was outside. I remember being outside during that screening being like... just in a funky headspace where it felt like I was being like ripped open.
Yeah.
And I was like,
isn't that so funny?
It works. Yeah. And then people dug it at the end and I was relieved. But during it, I was like, this does not feel good. What have mm-hmm. I done?
Yeah.
Why am I sharing this?
And then how was your family's reaction to it?
It's been varied. I mean, my dad obviously has pretty strong feelings around it. He loves the movie. I think he and I are still finding our footing mm-hmm. with the movie and our relationship. My mom loves it. they dig it. It's been cool. I mean, there's home video footage from when
that's
I was a
you,
kid.
Right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So it's like, I think it hits pretty close to home for them.
My mom's like, oh, and they got a little kid. I'm like, that's him.
Yeah.
What has been like the weirdest thing that's happened since in this process of promoting it and the most exciting? And then we can end.
That's
with
a
something.
Great question. What has been the weirdest thing that's happened? Gosh, I mean, Billie Eilish was at our premiere.
Ooh.
And it was just crazy to see like Billie Eilish at my movie premiere.
Yeah.
And like hang out with her at Largo and stuff, at Norm's afterwards. That was more cool than weird, I would say.
Yeah.
A weird combination of
totally
cool and weird.
Yeah.
But I mean, I love her music and she's just a really sweet person. But I don't know if I have any sensationally weird things that have happened.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, It's the whole thing is weird, honestly. Like, it's like telling the most embarrassing thing that you've ever had happen to like everyone you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's exciting, but also weird. And sometimes, I'm sure you feel this way sometimes with your stand-up, where some days you'll feel really confident and like, mm-hmm. yeah, I feel good about, I'm enjoying oversharing in a way.
Right.
And then other days you're like,
what did I do?
Yeah, like this is way too much.
Yeah. But I imagine the whole process was super cathartic.
It was. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and then I mean, just having it in theaters nationwide right now is
so cool,
so trippy and exciting.
Yeah. Have you allowed yourself to enjoy it? Like, do you?
I don't
like,
really know how to enjoy things, to be honest. I'm not good at enjoying things.
Yeah.
I'm like, I feel like I've been in a state of survival for so long. Coming up as an actor, you're like, how am I going to, that I feel like that's kind of my state always is just like, I'm just like trying to get better and better at doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I don't know. It's something that I'm still figuring out how to do, honestly.
Yeah. And then how soon after you finished were you like, I have to start the next thing?
Right away.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's stupid because it's like, it's something that I'm like learning is a ridiculous way of thinking about creativity.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of like I'm now realizing like I need to kind of have something that I have to say.
Mm.
I don't want to just start creating something random.
Mm-hmm. Like now that you're in the position that you are, you're like, I need my next move to be something that's good and important.
I want
and
feel somewhat inspired.
Yeah.
Not just...
Not for nothing.
It's also like, it's... After having gone through the whole process on this movie, you're like, that takes everything out of you.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be something that feels really worth it. And that list, I think, has narrowed since I've gone through this whole process where, you know, the amount of conversations you have around it, like you have to love it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're going to have a terrible time. I mean, you have to be willing to fight for it the whole way through.
Mm. Yeah, I love that. Well, there's a vacuum above us. I guess that means it's time to go. Thank you so much, James, for coming on. So tell us where we can watch your movie and
when does
all
this
that
come
fun
out?
Stuff. Next Wednesday.
Okay, so it'll be on demand by the time you people that are listening to this
on
hear my voice. It'll be on
like
demand.
Like to rent.
To rent.
Yeah.
On
yay. Yeah. And in theaters.
I think it'll be in some theaters next week as well.
I love my dad. Are you Italian?
I am, yeah.
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 I thought about your name.
Jewish Italian.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Cool. Thank you so much for coming on. Bye.
Bye.